This is Liam Potter with the Nui Tech People Community Spotlight Podcast. Episode 4, we've got Anjali from NIB. She's the QA manager and she also runs the Newcastle QA Meetup. This episode, we reference a fair amount of material that can be found on the internet as well as some books. If you want to find further information about these things, be sure to check the show notes. It's definitely worth checking out. Cheers, enjoy the episode. Hello again. Welcome to the fourth episode of the Community Spotlight Podcast, Nui Tech People. This week we've got Anjali. Anjali, welcome.
Hi, thank you. Good to be here.
Yeah, absolutely. Easiest point to start. Who are you? What do you do? Where do you work? What's the situation?
Sure. I think very few people outside of NIB know me because I've been a quiet member of the community, so I might give a bit of a background where I'm from. I grew up in a small town called Dhule, which is in a western state of India. Mm-hmm. I did all my education there, and after finishing my engineering degree, I moved to a bigger city called Pune, which is in the same state, but just a bigger city, for work back in 2010, where I started my career as a software engineer. And I am very passionate about, you know, building quality products in a much more efficient manner and in the leadership space. So all the roles I've been doing throughout my career have been, you know, helping me grow in this space. So I started as a QA engineer in a service-based organization, which was doing a lot of waterfall method. Mm-hmm. And then from there, I started, went into a consulting QA and a senior QA roles in agile teams at ThoughtWorks. That was a bit good exposure in terms of working with different clients and understanding. And along the journey, I obviously met my now husband, Pritesh. So we both worked in Pune in IT for about 6 to 7 years. Mm-hmm. We did few international work assignments before we moved to Australia, and we came straight to Newcastle back in end of 2016 when I got a job with NIB. I still remember how excited and skeptical at the same time I was when I was making a decision to move, but I guess that's a story for another time. Fast forward to today, I am currently working as a QA manager at NIB. Mm-hmm. I started with them about 3.5 years ago as a senior QA engineer. Did that for about 2 years, and then was seconded to a software development manager role for a year. So last year, I was pretty much doing that. And since the start of this year, my focus has been back into the quality space, where my responsibility is mainly to set and drive quality strategy for DevD, which is like a digital and emerging business delivery department, where we basically build and maintain products, digital products for our potential and existing customers. So yeah, that's about me.
Absolutely. And how are you dealing with COVID? How are you dealing with working from home, isolation, that sort of thing?
To be honest, I did struggle in the first week because all of a sudden you're asked to sort of work from home. And NIB actually took a stance even before the government. So it was very early stages. I sort of not reacted very well, which I'm sure many of us had the same similar reactions. But I guess at the end of the week, you pretty much acknowledged like, okay, this is the reality and it's going to be like that for a while. So you're like, okay, that's fine. From work-wise, to be honest, NIB has been flexing our work muscles for quite a few years. So it was relatively smooth transition. But at home, we didn't have any setup at all. So we went and bought a few chairs and gradually kept investing. And now we have a good home office setup. Mm. So that way, I was pretty productive pretty quickly from now there on. And in personal life as well, being a bit conscious and being disciplined of, you know, doing regular physical and mental exercise. As simple as just starting my day with a morning walk has been very refreshing, followed by like a few minutes of meditation. So I think overall I'm sort of keeping pretty well so far.
Absolutely. Unreal. It's been interesting with respect to, I guess, the blurring of the line between work and personal time, considering everyone's working from home. And that's a point that I've heard a lot, trying to, quite aggressively draw a line in the sand between, you know, the work time and personal time by doing something like going for a walk, sort of using that as a
as a, I guess, a ritual that indicates, okay, the workday's over. Now I can just be me. So yeah, absolutely.
Exactly.
Have you found any other positives from this sort of situation, making lemonade out of lemons, that sort of thing?
Yeah, sure. I think, look, to be honest, I am generally a very optimistic person. So I do see a lot of positives around, but this is a challenging situation for every single person we know. So I think in general, I like to put things into perspective. So when I look at people in India, people here, I just think about it. We are alive. That's the biggest positive I think of. I know, yeah. We're alive. Our family, our friends, our loved ones are pretty safe. I still have a job that I love, which I can do from the safety of my home. So I think that's been pretty positive overall. And I guess I've noticed at work, people have been more compassionate and empathetic towards each other because we're all going through challenging times. And I guess in personal life as well, now have extra time that I have saved from office commute. So I've been using that in a lot of different ways. Been going and upskilling myself, being a bit nerdy, catching up with my family and friends back in India. And also me and my husband have been spending a little bit of hands-on time on some advanced cooking, which has been a lot of fun. And also, like I said, just acknowledging the fact that this is the reality for now, and you know, we all will have a bit of a reaction, I guess. And it's okay to have that. So I guess these are some of the things that stands out to me.
Absolutely. I think generally speaking, it's been a time for people to reflect, maybe pick up something new. Yeah, it's, you know, it's a weird situation, but I think one thing that's provided maybe a bit of solace is that people are making the best out of what is a pretty bad situation. And it's been really refreshing to see. Absolutely.
Exactly.
Yeah. QA. So really diving straight into it, QA is I guess one of those parts of the development process that, you know, for someone who's maybe not been in a dev team or maybe hasn't researched enough, they probably don't know what QA is. So in a nutshell, QA, what do you do?
Look, I think this in itself is a very broad question because because I can spend hours talking about this because the role of responsibilities of QA do vary a lot based on the company you're working in, the type of product, the domain, you know, the culture that you have. But I guess at a high level, if I have to tell you, there are many different companies. So one type of companies where I started in was like more waterfall companies where you generally tend to have like a separate department, development and the testing. And within that as well, you have kind of a separation of manual testing, automation testing, where you see people going into detailed test plans and, you know, automation scripts and execute and report issues. Wherein the other type of companies, which are more and more, you know, becoming popular now, is agile companies of varying degree of maturity levels. In that, you see QA is like a very much embedded part of the team. And usually these are like a cross-functional teams, which are focused on delivering values to customer much more iteratively and, you know, regularly. So I guess essentially QAs in that type of team, what I would count myself to be in, because NIB is very much in that bucket, is they bring the mindset to the team of, you know, are we building the correct product and are we building it correctly? That those sort of things, bringing the end user perspective and helping teams to, you know, identify the risks early on. And then from there on, obviously, based on the context, you may have lots of different things like pairing with different disciplines in your team, doing different types of testing, whether it's also setting up process practices, that kind of thing, having tooling, having a right level of automation. So I guess it's pretty broad. And the way I look at it as like a broad spectrum, really. You can have like a really business-focused person, or you can have a very technical automation focused person. I guess So yeah, and I think based on the type of product you're working on as well, your testing inputs will be very different. But I guess in agile teams, it's very much like a team sort of responsibility, and you get involved right from the start, from the requirements phase. You work with, you know, business analyst or technical product analyst, analyzing the requirements, making sure you've got all the risk covered. You work with your UX designers, and then you do pair with developers as well, do some testing and work with business stakeholders as well to showcase, you know, the working software as often as possible. But yeah, I guess it's hard to put in a one word, but in a nutshell, if I have to say, you can say that it's, they bring an end user perspective. Sure. And then and help identify the risks early on.
Absolutely. It's a complex field. And I know I have a lot of friends that are maybe looking to get into to development, just generally speaking. And you know, everyone has that one friend that goes, oh, I'm going to learn to code. And I've always tried to give them a bit of a broad understanding of, you know, the development process and the different teams involved. And I've never found an easy way to succinctly explain QA, because as you said, it's a broad sector. There's a lot of different things that can fall into it. But I think that's a pretty good brief explanation.
Okay.
And typically speaking, on the point of people sort of looking to move into the dev space and move into the software space generally, how does one become a QA engineer? Is there a defined pathway?
Look, this is one of those roles which doesn't necessarily have any defined pathway. So the obvious one that I took was, you know, I had a comp science degree and I straight fell into that, which is very easy pathway. But I've seen a lot of people who have been doing development and then found testing really interesting, so made a switch from there as well. Or I've also met a lot of people who are from different backgrounds, like they've done mechanical, electronics, civil, and then they just found testing very interesting, so they made a switch. Even I recently met a guy who was doing hotel management and just happened to, you know, speak to a friend who was doing a mobile development and how does testing work in mobile space. He found it so interesting and he had a midlife sort of career change and he's now a mobile QA. So <I'm real. laughs> So I think that said, it is definitely like a, you know, skill and a mindset which can be learned. So there is a bit of a learning curve once you get started, but once that the fundamentals are set, you can, you know, make your move into that space. And then I think I've seen people who do really well in this role have some basic qualities, like, you know, you're very curious, you like to know why things work or don't work in a certain way, or how do they work. Questioning mind, basically, you know, questioning and challenging people's thinking, because oftentimes when you see the issues in a software or any other platform that you're building appear from someone said something, someone understood other way. So if you sort of ask questions and try to clarify things, that kind of thing, good communication is important because you're constantly communicating of your findings. And then I think it depends. If you want to go more and more towards automation side of things, you do need more programming skills and technical skills. But I guess most important of all is if you have willingness to learn and if you have curiosity, just get started and you'll do well in this role. Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You mentioned, yeah, it's very much it's a mindset you can learn. It's a way of thinking you can learn. Aside from the obvious of just getting your feet wet and starting, is there anything you can recommend? Any particular resources or anything like that you would recommend for someone potentially looking to move into the space?
Yeah, sure. I think, look, because I said it depends on a lot of parameters. So I would, my first suggestion is usually to talk to someone who is working in this space, because If you are interested in a particular domain, for example, testing is everywhere, so you can start in that space. So see what interests you first and talk to someone who has been in that space for a while, or maybe essentially go and pair with them for a while before you make a move, just to see if that works for you. Attend a QA meetup. So you can come attend meetup to figure out what it is all about. Go attend a conference. But I guess if you want to sort of get started, I do generally recommend books as well. I'm a very books person. So I think Agile Testing by Lisa Crispin and Janet Gregory is a really good starting point. Even if you're making a move from like a waterfall team to Agile team, that itself is a very daunting sort of experience, because in Agile, you're much more collaborative, you're much more working in the team. So that book actually gives you a good understanding of basics, like what it is to be in a QA in an Agile team. Then we do have a good book around exploratory testing called Explore It by Elizabeth Hendrickson. She's beautifully explained all the different techniques. That will help you a lot. And if you are much more in an Agile and DevOps sort of space, the book I would recommend is A Practical Guide to Testing by Katrina Cluck. I will sort of provide all the links, you know, we'll link it up there. Yeah, but I guess these are... Exactly, yeah. And then obviously there are like heaps of other resources online as well. But my first suggestion would be start with your interest and talk to people who are already in the space so they can help you in a better way. And if you're starting with more of like automation space, there's a good article around testing pyramid. I'm not sure if you've heard of this term. It's been there for a while, but teams do struggle to put that into practice properly. So Martin Poller has written a nice blog around that, so which I will sort of link as well. But essentially, you know, that has a concept of how do you go about grouping your tests and how much do you write where with the logic. I guess it's a long answer to your question, but yeah, that's I would say. And generally, I've seen that, you know, QA is a space where you don't generally have a defined career path.
Yeah,
a lot of companies, to be honest. So people tend to think very long term, and they're like, I can't see where I will go if I start in this space. So I think there's heaps of possibilities in that space as well. Like you can start as an individual contributor in a team. Utilize your strength, whether you're analysis or, you know, coding, choose your spectrum where you are. And then as you grow in the field, you can make a move into more like, you know, technical field, be test lead or director or whatnot, or in a management field like test manager or whatnot. Or you can do like me. I'm doing a combination of both. I'm doing management, but at the same time, I'm doing hands-on. So you can define your own path as well. Essentially, just go and ask. You don't get unless you ask for something. So, I think that's what I would suggest.
And I guess Newcastle, generally speaking, is pretty welcoming. You know, the Newcastle tech community, by and large, if you want to ask a question, if you want to pick someone's brain, everyone's going to be willing to hear you out and provide a response.
Absolutely.
That's something that I found really refreshing, just because not all communities can be like that. But Newcastle Tech has been really solid for being a quite welcoming community and a quite collaborative community. Yep. And I guess on that note, yep, we've got a new member in the meetup scene. We've got a new meetup starting up in, 6 days, is it?
Yes, it is on 26th, yes.
Yeah. So QA meetup. Why start it? What's the push?
Yes, that has a long story as well. I know I speak a lot.
Hey, you're fine.
Honestly, in India, like I was telling you, I did get a chance to work with very passionate people at ThoughtWorks, and I did learn the power of community and, you know, the learning and sharing that you can do if you have a good community around there. So I've always been involved in organizing community activities in quality space back in India, and after moving to Australia as well, and I've seen a lot of people in NIB are also passionate, and obviously, like, no doubt on the benefits side of things, I guess Clay, who is one of the team members, I was working in the same team at the time. He did nudge me at the start to, you know, get QA meetup going. You are very passionate in that space, and we do not have something like that in Newcastle. But I guess in first year, my focus was very much around just settling in, big change, country, culture, company. So yeah, I didn't sort of... It is. So, and then you're constantly evaluating as well, whether it's a place you want to stay long-term. But I guess, I was doing different roles, so my focus kept changing. But because this year I came back into the quality space, he nudged me again. And I was like, yes, that's a good time. All right. That's a good time. But yeah, look, I've been participating in Sydney Testers meetups or attending conference, been catching up with other, you know, quality coach groups as well. And I have always come back learning so much. I've been in the space for 10 years, but there's never enough. And that's why I was like, let's have something here, because I honestly don't know what the Newcastle community looks like from a testing perspective. And this is where I think it's a good sort of entry point. But I was still skeptical as to, you know, whether people will have, because testing is generally not something, it's not many people are interested by that. So that's where I started by doing a small survey earlier in the January, and I got good response, and that sort of encouraged me from there. I was like, okay, let's do that, and here we are.
Here we are. Absolutely. are you nervous at all
for the meetup?
I think
I was at the start, because the first one, which was originally planned in March, got cancelled because of the COVID. But I guess I'm someone who once gets started. So I'm like, I put my mind to it, let's get through that. And I guess whoever knows me well knows that I'm a big believer in feedback and continuous learning. So I'm sort of taking it as we go as well. So I don't want to sort of put everything in advance and we'll go from there. Obviously, there are challenges in this time, but we won't know unless we give it a go. So,
of course, of course. Who should attend this meetup? Who do you want to attend this meetup?
Anybody. And everyone, anyone and everyone who is passionate about building quality products is what I would say in a single line. But I guess, like I said, quality is essentially a team responsibility. So it's no good a QA coming and telling you these are the issues with your product if you don't go and fix it, right? So I think all the people like product manager, delivery managers, developers, UX designers, or technical product analysts, support people, everybody who is involved in a development process will find this meetup beneficial. And even if someone is not doing any of this role, you're not at all into IT space, but just want to figure out what this is all about, you know, like someone who is just graduating from uni or looking to make a move, career path change, you'll find things useful in this meetup. So you're all welcome. Yeah.
Excellent. Probably a bit too soon to be meeting face-to-face. So technologically, how is it being done?
I'm giving it a start with Zoom. Mm-hmm. And we have Josh B as a first guest speaker. So it's going to be like a 30-minute presentation and then followed by Q&A. And from there, like, you'll have people who can stay and do network, because that's the most important part of the meetups as well, isn't it? So starting with Zoom, again, we're going to take feedback and, you know, learn from how it works and take it from there.
Awesome. Yeah. Okay. I found Zoom, I think maybe initially a bit touch and go, but now that people are a bit more used to it, people are a bit more comfortable with the prospect of using it as not just a video conference platform, but really a platform where they can network a bit more and learn. I think people have come to the party quite a bit with it, and it's turned out to be quite good. Yeah, there's a million things out there. So let's see.
Absolutely, yeah.
So when is it? When's the event being hosted? What time? Where do people find out about it? Where do we get all this info?
Sure. The first one we have is next week, which is 26th of May. It's going to start at 6 p.m. And we have kept like 1.5 hours for it. So we'll do welcome kickoff. We do a fun exercise. followed by a presentation and then Q&A and networking. If you want to know more, we have the meetup page for it, Q&A Newcastle. We'll link up in the description. We do have a presence on Twitter and at the Red Newcastle QA. And if we are in our Newcastle Slack community, we have our channel called Newcastle Testers Group. So yeah, if you are not already part of that, you can, you know, log on to UE.com and get invite and come join us there. It's a bit quiet at the moment, but I do see Tom from time to time having good discussions in there, whether it's fun jokes or whether it's good articles or just asking questions and learning from each other. So yeah.
Absolutely. Okay. And you personally, how do people find you? If someone wants to reach out and ask a bit more about QA, if anyone wants to pick your brain, how do they find you?
Absolutely. I am happy to, you know, have a chat with you if you like, anything and everything in quality space. I am on LinkedIn and Twitter. I'll give my details later on. But yeah, I am on the new Slack community as well. So if you like, you can direct message me there as well.
Absolutely. I'm noticing a recurring theme in these where I don't think we've had a guest on yet that hasn't recommended join the new Slack. And that's a pretty salient point, especially in these times. You need to have a sense of community. You need to be able to bounce ideas off people. And I think that group, well, that workspace, I guess is the correct term, that workspace has been such a good place for bouncing ideas off people, getting an understanding as to what's happening. It's been unreal. So if anyone's watching / listening that hasn't joined it, seriously, you've been told 4 times, just join.
Yeah. I've been a bit passive part of the community. So I didn't join it until January this year, but I can see within 6 months, the amount of network I've built and the discussions I've had with people and learned from it has been, you know, very useful. So I definitely second that.
100%. Look, I think that pretty well covers it. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me.
For you listening, watching, whatever you're doing, thank you for consuming this content. We'll catch you in the next one. Cheers.